Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rates and Lanes with your hosts, Rico Muhammad and Chuck Snow.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Rates and Lanes podcast. I'm your host, Rico Muhammad. I will be joined here shortly by my co-host, Mr. Chuck Snow. And tonight, we got a fascinating conversation coming up. If you guys would like to get involved, all you have to do is press the number one. That puts you in the call screener's queue. And we'll try to mix you into the show as quickly as we possibly can. But without any further ado, let's jump into the night tonight's proceedings as far as the DAT trend lines reports go. This week is the first time in a long time that we do not have any change whatsoever in the price of diesel fuel. We've remained flat for over the past week, so the national average price of diesel fuel sits steady at $3.72 per gallon on a nationwide average basis. Activity slows, but rates rise around Thanksgiving. Truckloads were hauled at premium prices during the holiday week. Spot market activity slowed last week due to the shortened holiday week, but while there were fewer trucks on the road, the truckloads that needed to move around Thanksgiving were hauled at a premium, with spot rates rising on the majority of all those freight volume lanes. And let's take a look to see how each particular segment was performing around the country, starting out with the dry van portion of the report. And starting out up in the upper northeastern pocket, we're showing that the average outbound spot market rate for dry vans was checking in at $2.60 per mile. Dropping down to the mid-Atlantic and southeastern states, we're showing that the average outbound rate on spot market for dry vans at $2.71. Climbing back up into the Midwest, we're showing that the average outbound rate for dry vans checks in at $3.11. Moving down to the South Central region, we're showing average rates at $2.59. And leading the nation coming out of the West Coast for dry vans, we're showing an average outbound rate at $3.32. Shifting gears, jumping over to the skateboard or flatbed portion of the report, we have checking in coming out of that upper northeastern corridor, $2.89 per mile on average. Coming down to the mid-Atlantic and southeastern states, we're showing an average outbound rate for flatbeds at $3.17. Moving out of the Midwest, we're showing an average outbound rate at $3.29. Coming out of the South Central region, we're showing an average outbound rate at $2.92. And wrapping up, coming out of the West Coast, we're showing an average outbound rate at $2.73. And jumping over to the temperature-controlled or reefer portion of this report, coming out of that northeastern corridor, we're showing that the average outbound rate checks in at $2.97. Coming down to the mid-Atlantic states, we're showing an average outbound rate of $2.86. Climbing back up into the Midwest, we're showing an average outbound rate of $3.83. Moving out of the South Central region, we're showing that that rate is at $3.12. And coming out of the West Coast, we're showing an average outbound rate at $3.74. And with that being said, and without any further ado, let me welcome my co-host, Mr. Chuck Snow, into the show. Good evening, Chuck. How are you?
We're doing great, Rico. How are you?
Oh, we're doing quite fine. I'm interested to see. There was a lot of stuff that transpired over that holiday weekend, and I'd love to hear if anybody wants to chime in and tell us how what your experience was over the Thanksgiving holiday. We'd love to hear about it, but I'm looking forward to tonight's conversation as well with our guest. You want to give them an introduction and tell everybody who we got coming on board with us?
Yeah, thank you, Rico. We have Paul Donofrio, the founder and CEO of Canadian Warranty, and to our American listeners, don't be afraid, because before I bring him on the show, I made sure he sells warranty on both sides of the border, not just Canada. Don't let the name fool you. So when your warranty expires and you need a warranty for any of these newer trucks, it's not like the old days where they ran for millions and millions of miles. Paul's company, Canadian Warranty, provides warranty for you. So Let's hear all about it. With no further ado, Paul, welcome to the Rates and Lanes podcast.
Thank you both, Rico and Chuck, for having me on your show. I'm very honored to be on your show. And, yeah, the topic is warranty. It'll be a great conversation.
Yeah. I don't think there's a listener out there that has a newer truck that hasn't had issues with, some of this wonderful new technology. And I'll be the first to admit that it, these things burn a hell of a lot cleaner than the old diesels we grew up with. But, they do have some, they have some gremlins there here and there. And I don't know if you really get the lifespan out of any of the newer, anything built after 2007, as you did before. So tell us how this program works. Now, what year does a truck have to be in order to buy a warranty?
Yeah, that's a great question. Currently, we're on 2015 model year and newer.
Right.
In some different cases, we do look at older truck based on what they do and the application of the truck. But for a Class 8 truck, it's 2015 and newer.
Okay.
Is there a mileage restriction or?
We cap out at, sorry for our American friends, we cap out at 1.3 million kilometers. That's our cap.
Okay, so that's about 180, about just under 800,000 kilometers, correct?
Miles.
Miles.
Yeah.
About,
yes.
So that's the same warranty as I get if I buy a new truck with the manufacturer's warranty.
So some of the changes in with the manufacturer's warranty versus an extended service contract is that some of the components on the manufacturer drop off sooner than they
right.
than an extended service contract would.
Okay.
So we, as an extended warranty company, would pick up where the manufacturer would drop off.
Okay. So if I buy a truck that's got 700,000 miles on it, I'm only going to be able to get insurance for 100,000 miles or 160,000 kilometers or a warranty. Is that how it works?
So what we typically do is we send the truck for inspection. Our typical
right.
cutoff, as I said, in terms of kilometers is 1.3, but for different exceptions of the vehicle, based on the inspection, we typically could go out to 1.5.
Okay. And then how does it work, and what do you cover?
Yeah, that's an awesome question. We cover everything from engine, after treatment, differential, transmission, turbochargers, critical components, which is your fuel injectors, water pump, ECM, and fuel pump. We also have a great section that we've added called Components Plus, which, in my opinion, the truck world has always been left out of small little things in terms of extended warranties. So what we've gone and added is alternator, engine air compressor, fan clutch, fuel tanks, AC, the AC unit in the truck, all the way down to the radio inside so they can continue singing while they drive, starter and alternator.
Wow.
That's interesting. So if someone is out here and they're listening to us tonight and we may have pricked their interest in purchasing the extended service contract or whatever, what is there a criteria? Does it have to be, say for instance, they buy a truck from a private party? Does the truck have to be purchased from a dealership? Does it matter whether it's private party? And just to follow up on those two, or is everything just contingent primarily on the inspection that you spoke of?
Yeah, Rico. So typically, if the truck is on dealer lot, we pretty well know that the truck has gone through a rigorous inspection to be on that dealership's lot. So if it's an owner-operator and he wants an extended service contract, we would have him visit one of our accredited repair centers and have them do an inspection. If it passes our inspection, simple enough, the warranty goes on the truck.
Are there any instances where, say, for instance, if there's something noted on the inspection Is that a situation where something may be excluded from the warranty, or does it need to be repaired and still be an opportunity to put the full warranty on? How does that situation work?
We've had customers in some cases that say, you know, I'm not really interested to have my differential covered per se. Can you only cover engine and after treatment? That seems to be the big two. What we like to see is, in fact, any deficiencies that they find within the inspection, we'd like them to be repaired prior to the warranty going on. So right. The customer can enjoy full coverage of the warranty.
Okay, so you want the truck, you want to know that there's not a pre-existing problem with a diff or a transmission, obviously, which I don't blame you.
Exactly.
You're selling protection.
Exactly. And, you know, fleets are a little different. Fleets are maintained in a different fashion. And
sure.
What we typically look at is the record from the maintenance manager or fleet manager and take a certain amount of time backwards and go from there based on the maintenance of the truck through the fleet department.
Now, will you sell a warranty program, Paul, if the truck is on a used truck lot rather than a OEM dealer?
Yeah, the only difference in that is we would ask that used truck dealer that we're not associated or affiliated with to do our longer inspection versus our Canadian dealer partners. We give them a very short inspection to do. As a matter of fact, it's so simple. We ask them just to simply road test the truck, give us a copy of their dealership inspection, and based on that, and perhaps in some cases maybe a safety inspection, based on that, we'll turn the warranty on. As where, quote-unquote, it's a transit truck or a truck center that we don't know of, it's just slightly longer. There's a few other tests that we require, including an ECM printout.
So if one of our listeners was considering buying a used truck that's on a truck lot, let's say in Amarillo, Texas, or Sunrise, Florida, or Mitchell, South Dakota, you have places where they could take that truck and qualify it for a warranty throughout North America?
Correct. We would ask them to go to one of our affiliated partners out in the U.S., have the truck inspected, send the inspection back to us, including the ECM printout. If everything checks out fine with us, the warranty will be placed on the truck.
Okay. And what happens if I buy warranty and my truck calves out somewhere? How long, you know, all of a sudden I stop earning, I still have truck payments. Mm-hmm. Granted, you're going to pay for the new engine or transmission or whatever it needs. But what happens then? So I'm sitting in, I'm sitting in somewhere in North Dakota or Wyoming in a Holiday Inn waiting for my truck to get repaired.
We have a great program called Downtime.
Right.
And if that customer has purchased our Downtime Guarantee, we pay up to $1,500 for hotel, meals, towing, and rental truck. So provided they've purchased the Downtime Guarantee, we'll reassure that they're either in a rental truck so they continue to work, or we'll pay for their accommodation should they have to stay in the hotel.
Okay. Now, are you, through your program, what's the turn? Like, I know right now getting parts for trucks can be difficult. Do you guys have, as we like to call it, any schlep to be able to get your customers back on the road in a timely fashion?
Yeah, that's it's been a challenge with the parts shortage and so forth. But we definitely do our best, even from the claim side of business, to help source parts, which we in the beginning haven't done. We've relied on the shop to do it, but we'll go the extra mile to try and source parts ourselves, and if need be, direct ship to the shop just to get the truck back on the road.
And you know what? And sometimes, as we all know, we have to put used parts on a truck.
Yeah, we try to go rebuild and or new. And the simple reason for that is, you know, we buy a turbo from a brand. I'm not going to name brands, I'm sure. But we buy a turbo from a brand. That turbo is going to come with its own warranty from that brand. If we go with used, I don't know, you know, the guarantee in the U.S., but up in Canada, they're only giving about 90 days guarantee on a used part.
Yeah.
You know, we have done that recently with a one box
right.
because we just couldn't get one. It was 6 weeks away, and this guy needed to get back on the road. And you know, thank goodness, you know, the box we got was good because he continued to drive, and he's still driving to this day.
So in a case like that, where you where somebody's truck has a failure, and you end up having, and we understand, like, you know, Rico and I are old hats in this industry, and we understand that there's a shortage of parts all over. So, you know, somebody's diff goes, you can't get a new diff, you can't get a rebuilt diff, you've got to go to the boneyard, get a used diff. You put that in, you have that installed in the truck, and then the thing dies 6 months later. Does your company cover that at all?
So what typically happens, it would be out of the, I guess, the scrapyard warranty at that point in time. So there is a limit of liability in each segment of the warranty. And provided the diff was below the limit of liability when the repair was done and there was still money in that category, we would continue to pay until the limit of liability is used up.
Okay. So this is almost like U.S. healthcare, where you're allowed so much per section. Which is great. I understand. You know, because things can be very expensive. So, can you give Rico and I and our listeners some idea of costs and coverage on the various components?
Yeah, absolutely. So each category has its own limit of liability.
Right.
So our total aggregate is about $30,000. And our engine segment is $20,000. Our after treatment is $8,000. Our differential is $6,000. Transmission is $7,000. Turbocharger is $7,000. Critical components is $6,000. Our downtime guarantee that I mentioned prior for hotel, tow, or rental truck has a limit of liability of $1,500. Our components plus, should the AC quit in the truck, or the radio, or the radiator, that limit of liability is $5,000.
Okay. Wow, you can just about rebuild the whole truck.
Well, you know, Chuck, the thing is we want to get everyone back on the road as soon as possible.
Right.
And pay as much as we possibly can to repair that truck. What we're finding is a lot of drivers out there, you know, the last thing they want is a breakdown and they have to pull their credit card out to max the credit card out to, you know, an after treatment component or a cylinder head or something along those lines.
Yeah, it gets really expensive.
Exactly.
Which is definitely helped with warranties have, because in years past and previous, I just have to ask this question, because you've heard many times people talk about with manufactured warranties and stuff like that. And I think that sometimes you got people that's not sophisticated enough to understand how the procedure works with getting warranties to make sure that the warranty is honored. So can you maybe help walk us through the procedure as far as making sure that you do that you're doing the right things? If you have a situation where you're going to need to use the warranty, what does can you walk us through the steps on what a person needs to do to make sure that they're dotting all the I's and crossing the T's?
So, Rico, if they're buying it directly from us, we walk through every piece of the warranty the customer completely understands what they're getting themselves into and what they're purchasing. As a matter of fact, on the contract, even electronically on our website, or if it's a manual way of showing the customer, we make them initial every page to guarantee they've read it. The last thing you want is the customer to spend their hard-earned money, sign up for a guarantee or a warranty, and A, the limits of liability are very low, or B, they don't cover half the components that are suggested.
Right.
Our dealer partners, we train them. We spend about a week at their dealership to train them. And we're very hopeful that all our dealer partners explain the warranty to the customer to the fullest. We also follow up with the customer after they've purchased the warranty and give them a call and make sure they're satisfied, make sure they're happy, and we ask them if they have any questions. So this is a way that we try to make sure that the customer completely understands what they've purchased.
Now, is there a is there a make of truck or components that you're more comfortable with providing warranty?
Wow, in fact, that's kind of a loaded question, but
Well, you know what? It's just some are better than others. We all know that.
You know, interesting enough that we finally in Canada got to go and meet and greet people. There was a truck show in Quebec, and
we had our
booth there. And as a matter of fact, some of the OEMs came up to our booth and started saying, "Hey, you know, when you find things wrong, because remember, you know, when we're seeing trucks with 700,000-800,000 kilometers, I'm sorry, once again, Rico saying kilometers, but up that high in mileage." Remember, the OEM doesn't see weird and wonderful things like that, and they're asking us what we're seeing.
Right.
And, you know, to answer your question, we see different things from each brand, but the brands that we do see things wrong with are always the same common failure, if that answers your question.
Okay, yeah, no, that makes sense, because you have a part that's made by a third-party manufacturer somewhere, and we've had it happen to us. It was actually a steering arm on two plate liners many years ago, Columbia's. And, you know, it was a nightmare trying to get the parts went, and the first truck that went wasn't a problem. We got a replacement arm for the next day or that day. The second truck that came in 2 days later when we called the dealer, there were no parts available because it turns out the parts were faulty. And I will give a plug for Freightliner, and they didn't pay me anything to say this. After 3 months of having a truck sit, they heard about my plight, a vice president down in Rico's neck of the woods where he's from, South Carolina somewhere. And he said, "I heard about your problem. I'm going to send you the part. And when I come to Toronto next week, I'm going to buy you dinner." He followed through. So, you know, I was pretty upset. I was ticked, to tell you the truth. And really, he explained the whole thing, that they get these parts made somewhere else, and it was, I think, made in Hungary, and it was there was something wrong with something, whether it was the parts or whatever, or the metal, but you would think it would be up to manufacturer's spec, or maybe somebody cheated, and they had to move production to another country. So you understand how this happens. You know, these guys, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that for the most part, your truck manufacturers are really assemblers, you know, and these are parts made all over the world.
Yeah. Seems that's the way it's going now. And, you know, I guess the only good thing for us on the extended service contract side is, as I said, we see the same failures along the brand lines. And, you know, it's not that we adjust the warranty up or down per brand. Our brand, our warranty is the same price for every brand. Do we take a hit on someone after treatment? Absolutely we do. But, you know, it's the warranty business. Brands you never see an after treatment issue. And others, there's monster claims that come in all the time for the same amount.
So can you break it down for Rico and me and our listeners, the cost? Now, I realize it's in Canadian dollars. So to our U.S. listeners, it makes it a little – now, our U.S. listeners buying a warranty from you, that's no problem if they're on the other side of the bridge?
No. We also have a partner in the U.S. that is selling the same brand of warranty but in U.S. dollars. So this is a brand new, I'm actually glad we're speaking of this. This is a brand new venture that I ventured to a U.S. counterpart. It's the same warranty format, same covered components, but in U.S. dollars.
Okay. So if you can give us an idea, if you don't mind reading your menu, and we're going to start with the engine and go right to the radio and radiator, I think you said. What does each section, you know, let's go from our appetizer right to our dessert. What is it going to cost us to purchase this, and how long is it good for, time-wise?
So we've done it a little different. We're in the new year. We're thinking, I'll just comment on that. In the new year, we're thinking of an a la carte warranty. But right now, our warranty, the price for the warranty is all-inclusive.
Okay.
What we're finding is a lot of drivers are calling in and saying, you know, I never have a problem with my transmission. Or as you said earlier in the show, a lot of the OEMs are extending the transmission way farther out past the engine, past the after treatment. So, you know, in some cases, you really won't see a claim for transmission. So a lot of them are saying, I don't need coverage there. I just need coverage in engine and after treatment and perhaps my turbocharger. So in the new year, we're adjusting the warranty to be almost pick what you like, and we'll quote it at that. But what we have before us right now is an all-inclusive warranty. So within our pricing, we cover engine, after treatment, differential, transmission, turbochargers, critical components. The only add-on is our downtime and our components plus. They're add-on feature to the warranty. But the bare bones of the warranty is the engine, after treatment, differential, transmission, turbo, and critical components.
Okay, and what would that run me? I buy a truck that's got 600,000 kilometers, 360,000 miles on it. I buy this truck, and I take it into you. And I may have, you know, and there's a good chance there's, you know, I bought it without any manufacturer's warranty because of the age of the truck. That's very possible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because most of the manufacturers, it's so many kilometers, so many miles, or so many years. So I bring this truck, and it's a 2016, let's say, and it's got 360,000 miles, 600,000 kilometers. How does this work?
Well, first of all,
what's it going to cost me?
We like those trucks. They're a baby to us. They're low mileage, and we like those. So it depends on what you prefer, if you want a one-year program, two-year program, or a three-year program.
Right. And do I sign up? So how does that work? When I sign up, do I have to commit to one, two, or three at the time I buy the policy, the warranty, or how does this work?
So typically what we're seeing, our sweet spot is drivers will purchase a two-year, 350,000-kilometer warranty. And within that warranty, we have two options. We offer them a $500 deductible or a $1,000 deductible. And based on the deductible that they choose, the price varies.
Right.
So to make it very simple, if it's a $500 deductible that they choose, and keeping in mind with this price is everything that I mentioned before within the warranty, all of those different categories. And it was kind of hard as a listening without seeing the visual, but all of those major component areas are covered within this price. And a two-year, 350,000-kilometer warranty is approximately $8,650 Canadian.
Okay. Now, does the price go up if I buy, let's just say, if I buy a truck and it's got, it's almost at 800,000 kilometers, 500,000 miles.
Mm-hmm.
I can buy the package and you'll give me that extended warranty for 2 years for 300. How many kilometers did you say in 2 years you're going to allow me?
350, which is what, about 218,000 miles?
Okay.
Yeah, that works. Going off gas here.
Okay. For a truck that's got, close to, it may not make sense unless the truck is aged out for a truck with lower miles, but I would think, Rico, you told me if I'm wrong, your opinion, but I think if you got a truck that's close to 500,000 miles or 800,000 kilometers and you can buy some insurance, and it's $8,000 for the 2 years.
But keeping in mind, if Rico opted to choose the $1,000 deductible, okay, his price actually goes down to $7,699. We're also in the new year, coming in the new year, because we understand from a collision perspective, deductibles can be quite high for drivers. So they're kind of seeing these deductibles, and we're almost thinking from a warranty perspective, if we increase our deductible perhaps a little higher to $1,500, we could reduce the price of the warranty significantly once again.
Oh, that'd be great.
So that's it's something else we're looking at in the new year.
That, you know, that works, because I have to tell you, it's, you know, the deductible, if I was buying this, I would take the highest deductible I could if it would lower my price.
Yeah, absolutely. And plus, if it's a fleet, you know, we do give a fleet discount.
Right.
But, you know, what's really interesting, the question you asked to Rico, what we're finding, Chuck, is so many of the fleets out there, and I'm sure the U.S. is having the same problem, is there's such a shortage in trucks that our phone is ringing off the hook saying, how do I buy extended warranty on my fleet? And we'll ask the question, you know, what's the kilometers? And they're saying, well, we should have gotten rid of this truck. It's aging out. It's now 800,000 kilometers on it.
Right.
And we'll tell them, you know, if it passes the inspection, no problem. We'll put the warranty on it, because we understand the pain point there. Like, if you cannot get a truck,
there isn't
what are you going to do? And it's funny, because it's the old saying, when you're in business, you know, when someone owes you money, the check is in the mail, right?
Yeah, of course.
And I spoke to a major fleet last week, and I said, you know, are you receiving any trucks? He says, you know, and I think you and I had this conversation as well. He says, no, I can't even get my trucks. As a matter of fact, they canceled the order on me.
Yeah,
and
that's happened
all
over the place, because, well, they can't get the components. Let me ask you something, Paul. You know, the way I, like, it depends on how your truck is spec'd and what you're doing. But, for example, if I owned a truck and it had a manual transmission and I had a real steady driver on it under a certain application, or I was driving it myself, I may not want to get warranty on the transmission. Could I bump my warranty on the engine and the after treatment instead of the transmission? Are you going to do that at all?
You know what? I'm gonna write that down. That's not a bad idea. I'm open to many suggestions come the new calendar year. We'd like to change the product around and make it even better. And that's
well,
not a bad
idea. Well, I know
idea.
With insurance. Yeah, I know that with a standard insurance policy, you can, within reason, insure anything you want. There was a very famous dancer, if I'm not mistaken, in the 40s and 50s that had her legs insured. So obviously, if they're going to insure somebody's legs, they're going to insure an engine for a longer period of time.
So in other words, we would increase, we could either increase the mileage, or we could, I think that would be more beneficial, the time and the mileage for the driver, so that they have a peace of mind that,
But I do know for a fact that there are a couple, for example, there's a couple of automatic transmissions out there. And anybody that that wants to say otherwise, please just dial one and come on in and contradict me. My understanding overall, not 100%, is that the best ones on the market is Volvo and Mack for automatic transmissions. They've been developing them for many, many years, and they've done a great job.
Mm-hmm.
Where the other ones, and they are good, and they're a whole lot better than they used to be, but they still don't have all the gremlins out of them. But apparently, we've never had a truck with a Mac automated transmission, but we did have 10 Volvos, and you know what? Those transmissions were great. I will say that about them. So, you know, if you've already got a truck, you feel you're, you don't want to insure the transmission. I think it would make sense, you know, to insure other components on the truck. You could, and buy extra coverage.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. And that's something definitely for the whiteboard for the new calendar year, 100%.
Well, and while you're at it, you know, we're giving you a couple ideas for our listeners. I would personally, I would want to bump up. If I was, you know, if I could pick and choose, kind of like a buffet, I would pick and choose anything to do with the engine and the after treatment, the DAF and all that. And I would also, I would love to bump up the aftercare. The towing hotel. I got to tell you, I don't know the last time you were on the hook, but we got towed one night off of the Ambassador Bridge when a transmission let go, and it was nothing serious, but driver couldn't go, and really all he had to do was shut the damn thing off and start it again. But that was probably $3,000 or $5,000 U.S. to tow us about 5 miles. So your $1,500 doesn't really go very far. I would want to bump it up.
Yeah, what we're doing, actually, it's on our website. I'm sorry, Rico, for the U.S. listeners. We're still kind of hashing that out, that side of it. But for our Canadian listeners, we actually have a mechanical failure downtime. And within that, I'm hoping to do the same program in the U.S. come the new calendar year. Basically, we will make a payment for your truck up to $1,000 a week, up to 12 weeks. We'll also pay $2,000 to tow the truck to your home base and up to $500 to tow it to the closest repair facility. So I know how expensive towing can be. I see the bills.
Oh, yeah. I guess you look at the bills more often than we do.
Oh, gosh, yes. You know, we're also offering medical downtime as well and gap insurance.
Right.
And write-off coverage, just to add that in there.
Wow. Okay, so you're really becoming an insurance agent for trucks, anything other than cargo liability and public liability, really.
I want to make it a one-stop shop. I will do everything except sell a truck. I don't want to compete against the dealer network.
Right, that's your customers.
Yeah, we're also looking at a maintenance program for clutches, for tires, for brakes. And that'll probably be rolled out in February.
Okay. Certainly, I can tell you that Rico, who lives down in Atlanta, we're both members of NASTIC. And Rico, National Association of Small Trucking Companies. Now, Rico is, because he's domiciled out of there, and we could do it too sometimes. We don't use this service, but there are vendors that will give a discount for Canadians that are running in the U.S. But NASTIC does nothing up in Canada. There's no fuel savings. There's nothing because our population is so small. You know, we're 10% of the U.S. population. So it's just not worth them spending any effort trying to find vendors up here when the fifth wheel shut down. Probably about 8 years ago, that was it. They lost their fuel program. But, it's certainly something I think our Canadian listeners would be very interested in, is being able to secure repairs for, and tires. Because, as we know, they're all expensive.
Exactly. And it's interesting about the fuel, because I listened to Rico when he first came on talking about the fuel prices in the U.S. And, they're quite high in Canada as well. And interesting enough, about a month ago, I had one of the major fuel brands in Canada call me, and they were looking for a way to attract drivers to their pumps, and they asked me if they could take our warranty and use it almost as a points program. So over so many liters of fuel, they would give the driver a free warranty. And I said, it's not a matter of the free warranty. What the drivers, the women and men out there need, especially the owner-operators need, is a discount on fuel. I said, you guys are killing them at the pumps, and this is how they make their living. I said, so,
100%.
I'll entertain your offer of using my warranty to give it free after so many liters, but you better give them a discount on fuel. So I don't know if I shot myself in the foot, but nevertheless, it's still a negotiation talks. So you would almost be seeing in the near future maybe a CTW fuel card.
Well, you know what? There's so many fuel cards in the U.S. A lot of the factoring companies down in the U.S. have gotten into the fuel business.
Yeah, exactly. We have a factoring company on our
mm-hmm. Yeah, it goes part and parcel. And I think it makes a lot of sense. Did you say you're working with a factoring company? Okay.
Yeah, it's on our webpage. We're working with eCapital, which is both Canadian and U.S.
Yes, they're a good company.
And I'll throw a plug for NAL, which is doing our gap and our downtime and mechanical. We've partnered with them in that area there just to protect the drivers in case winter season, they write the truck off, God forbid, or they slip on ice and hurt themselves. All the coverage is there.
Yeah. No, you know what? Unfortunately, we're not able to buy enough insurance.
Yeah.
You know, and you can, the risk, you know, somebody slides off of a flatbed or step deck or any open deck, especially this time of year, they may never drive again. I've seen it before.
It's scary. It's,
it is. It's,
and this is why
yeah,
we thought this type of, you know, the mechanical downtime is exclusive to us. You know, I think it goes together like peanut butter and jam here because, you know, our mechanical downtime, if someone is down on a truck that's 5 years old or newer, you know, we're going to pay them $100 to $1,000 a week as their truck is broken down. And they can use that money to whatever they want, if it's McDonald's or a hotel stay or whatever it is. And it's a benefit up to 12 weeks. Plus, like I mentioned before, it's $2,000. So if you're on that Ambassador Bridge, it's $2,000 to tow it back to home base. And $500 to tow it to the closest repair center. I don't care if he's on I-75 or where
there,
he is.
How they get you there, guys, this one was really interesting. There's only one company allowed to pick up a disabled truck off the Ambassador Bridge once it hits that U.S. side.
Wow.
I'm not exaggerating, guys. I was right there. I was in the office that evening when that transmission just decided to stop working. And I had the truck brought back to Southern Ontario, back to Toronto, and then a shop that we deal with and I'll say their name because I think they're a great shop. You may know them, Paul. East Coast Diesel Mississauga.
Yeah,
phenomenal shop for any of our listeners. They've done some work for us in the past, and they're really, I got to just say a plug for them. What's how honest they are. I was taking a truck. I put a new engine or a used engine in the truck, and I decided to play truck driver and take it to our location in Chicago. I had nothing better to do one day. When I stopped probably 100 miles from the terminal, I just stopped and looked underneath. And there was an oil leak, and I thought, you know what, I'm not taking this thing back to Chicago. I've got access to, because it was going to our Chicago operation, traffic's trucks. So I turned around the next exit, and I brought the truck back. Now, I had just filled the truck up with fuel before I left, right to the top, and because I didn't want to stop somewhere. I didn't know how this thing was on fuel, and didn't want to leave our manager in Franklin Park with the truck that needed fuel, and I really didn't want to stop. Because of time, and I brought it back because they installed the engine and developed the leak, which can happen, an oil leak. They noticed not only did I have an oil leak, I had a fuel tank leak, and I created it. I made it a lot worse by putting in that much fuel. What these guys did, well, it had, I think, about 300 gallons of fuel, 150 on each side. They drained the tanks. And they put the tank, the contents, in other tanks until the truck was fixed, and they had to fix the fuel tanks as well.
Oh, wow.
That's the sort of that. You know what? They deserve a plug for what they did.
Huh? I've heard of them, and I've heard great things of them as well. I should get my claims team to call them tomorrow and sign them up as a dedicated repair center.
Yeah, because the other thing is, and I know I'm not here to disrespect the truck dealers, but I know that some of the dealers, their shops are overwhelmed. They just can't, they don't have enough bays. They don't have enough mechanics. Hell, some of them don't have enough room in their parking lot for all the broken trucks.
Okay.
And these guys seem to be able to get stuff done.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to pass that on tomorrow morning, to claims and get them to call them.
Now, do you have a mat? So I buy a truck and it's got 770,000 kilometers, just under 480, about 460,000 miles. What is the longest warranty you're going to sell me?
Longest warranty, it'd be a three-year. We do have a four-year program, but of course we'd want to analyze the inspection very closely.
Right.
VCM printout from the truck, verify the health of the truck. Something new that we're launching for the new year as well. I wasn't going to mention this, but I'm going to mention it anyway. In order for us to do a four-year program and maybe even a five-year program with more kilometers.
This is getting better all the time. I'm really starting.
Well, I was saving this for the new year, but since I'm on your show and I'm very honored to be on your show.
Well, it's
Rico
new
and
year in 30 days, and you know what? Two weeks of that is going to be non-productive for a lot of people, so let her rip.
True. Okay, fair enough. So you're probably wondering how we can do these things in the U.S. and, you know, Northern Ontario and all these remote places. We've partnered, and I won't say the name on your show, but we've partnered with a major – can I say it? Is it okay to say it?
Sure.
Ah, okay. So we've partnered with Rogers, and there's a device that will go in the truck. A, one of two things, going to reduce the price of the warranty if you have it in the truck. Rico, okay. To let you know, in Canada, some of the insurance companies for accident insurance experiment with having, quote-unquote, a device in the vehicle to see how you're driving. And if you drive well, you get a discount on insurance. I don't know if they have that up in the U.S. or not, but, you know, we're not monitoring. We've been talking about it.
We've been talking about it a lot on the show, in particular, and it's a lot of we understand that that's kind of something that's coming down the pipe when it comes to any type of insurance. That more and more people are going, companies are going to start requiring the not only the outward facing camera but the interior facing camera as well.
Our device does not monitor driver behavior. What it monitors is engine performance, driveline performance, and so forth.
Wow.
So
okay.
Get this, guys. It's really exciting. I saw a demo of it last week, and I was very excited. So our claims team is almost turning into NASA.
Right.
Because, you know, we similar to your fleets. I mean, you can see where your fleet is at any given time if you have that software. So not only can we see where the truck is, we can actually see engine temperature, oil pressure, all these great things live. If you have to do a regen or telling them to do a regen, I'll give you an example. We had a claim last year. This guy got in his truck. He drove from Toronto, was driving to Winnipeg. It was about 3 o'clock in the morning. And from what we found out after analyzing the ECM reports, the check engine light came on and the low coolant light came on about 4 in the morning. Well, you have to understand, Rico, you're in the south there. It was minus 35 in Canada, which what is that below in temperature there?
Same, Chuck, it meets around there. So it's minus 35 Fahrenheit or Celsius. Doesn't matter. It's the same.
Rico, put it in perspective. It was damn cold. So he stopped. He continued to drive and drive and drive based on what we saw. And lo and behold, he pulled the truck over at Tim Hortons, great coffee, by the way, pulls the truck over, gets out of the truck, goes and does his business in Tim Hortons, comes back out, truck won't start. And it's the old story to our claims department in the morning. I don't know what happened. I was just driving and the truck wouldn't start. Well, lo and behold, we get the truck to the shop and we find out this thing overheated and, of course, cracked the head, took out the head gasket and all the great things that go along and all cool in the truck. But
whoa.
What I'm trying to say is if that device had been in the truck at that given time, we would have seen it. As soon as the check engine light goes on, it flashes on our screen in the claims department. We would pick up the phone, call the driver if need be, call the fleet if need be, and say, hey, your truck is overheating. You need to pull over right now. And by the way, if you have our downtime and our tow program, we'll dispatch a tow truck to exactly where you are because we can see you're at mile marker number 85 on Interstate 75 or wherever they need to be, or you're on the 401 at marker 365. Pull over. We're going to send a tow truck. exactly where you are and get you to our dedicated repair center. Not only that, based on that information, we can triage, God forbid, almost like we're in the ambulance, we can triage what's going on with that truck and forward it to our dedicated repair center so they know why that truck is coming in. And it's not going to sit in the lot for 5 days to diagnose it.
Now, Paul, this is a. If that happened, I'll be the devil's advocate here. Mm. If that happened on Highway 11 going through Northern Ontario, what would happen there is there's no. It's winter time, obviously. It's 35 below. There's no shoulder. I've driven that road. There's actually no place for that guy to pull off for about. If I'm not mistaken, it's about 250 kilometers. There's nothing.
You almost missed past Timmins. Yeah, yeah, driven that highway. We got to watch out for the moose.
That too. I think it's too cold. Like they stay in the bush. But what happens in a case like that where you literally can't pull over? You're a hazard pulling over, and there's no tow truck, trust me. So what happens in that case?
Yeah, respectively, great question, Chuck. In our warranty contract, not in our warranty contract, but also in our section that talks about breakdown, what you must do in a breakdown, we say please put the truck in a safe manner in a safe position, so or drive to a safe position and stop the truck. So
right.
Listen, at the end of the day, we get it. I mean, you know, where are you? We can see where you are on Google Maps. You know, you're on a two-lane highway, drive to the exit in the town of Timmins and pull into somewhere in Timmins. I get that, you know, and there's parts in the U.S. that you can't just stop. I understand, Rico, is that correct? You can't stop on the highway either there.
Yeah, it's kind of touchy. It's kind of touchy.
You know, on the two-lane roads, that's a problem. On an interstate, this would, I think, other than your own personal safety for some of the bigger cities, which aren't safe anymore, they haven't been in years, you know, I can understand why a driver would want to keep going, get to the outskirts, get to a truck stop where he could, at least he's got the camaraderie of some other truck drivers.
Yeah, I think the device is great for two reasons. I mean, we can see, some of the devices turned, plugged into the truck, we don't need to ask for an ECM printout. We can see all the great information from the truck at that point in time. And once again, we're not monitoring the behavior. All we're doing is we want to see what that engine's functioning. We want to see that the turbo's functioning. We want to see the after treatment doesn't have a zillion codes on it. And it's all working. It's all working great.
You're monitoring the behavior of the truck, not the driver.
Exactly. And, you know, Rico, in Canada, we have really strict privacy laws that I had to send this to three Bay Street lawyers to get approved before we could even put this device in a truck. So
But, you know, this sounds like an interesting concept. It really does.
It saved us some claims, Chuck. It really has.
Yeah. You know, I would imagine there are people out there that get a, not just that fellow driving through Northern Ontario, but they're especially, and no disrespect, most of the men and women out there that are out there pounding pavement do a great job. But there are, I think we have gotten more immune to check engine lights because they're a, you know, my wife's got a new car and it doesn't have, it has under 400 kilometers. 240 miles, and the check engine light came on. And she called the dealer immediately, and they said, is it flashing? And she said, no. They said, just keep driving it. I'm not making it. Guys, I don't – Eureka, you know me for a long time. I don't make this stuff up. But, you know, I think all of us, anybody that's listening that has driven a truck that's 2008 or newer – it's had check engine lights come on. I remember before that, if you had a truck that a check engine light came on, it was all hands on deck. You got over. It was serious.
Right.
You know, it's like the boy who cried wolf.
Yeah, I'm a believer that if I've got some weird chest pains that are continuously happening, I'm going to the doctor. So the check engine light's there for a reason.
I agree.
You know, in some cases it could be minor in nature. I get it. And it's a pain in the butt. But in some cases, it's telling you something. You come and get me checked. There's something wrong. So,
I'm not minimizing. I'm definitely not sitting here minimizing the value of a check engine light, but we all know that there are umpteen dozen sensors under there, and if one of them's got a little bit of oil or dirt on it, you get a code that sends a check engine light on, and that means your driver's got to pull over at the nearest shop that he can get to, and then he's going to spend, like real life story, the driver spends half or three quarters of a day waiting to get into a bay so they can hook it up to a computer, and the guy says, oh, that's nothing, here, I'll just reset it, and you go, whew, that was nothing. It only cost me $150 for that, but it also cost me, I'm a day late with a load of mail going out to Calgary.
Yeah, you don't want that. Well, this is the beauty of us having the device in the truck, is we can see if it's minor in nature or if it's, hey, this is serious, you need to pull the truck over for your own safety and not to grenade the engine. And
okay.
We've had some cases
because
we'll read the severity of the code as well.
Okay. You know what? That's worth the price of admission, Paul. Just knowing that whether it's a severe code where your driver better shut that thing down or, no, keep going till you get to the suit. That's worth the price of the warranty.
Totally. And the fact of the matter is when we know what it is, let's say it's an intermittent EGR issue, when he gets to the suit, we can call the repair center out there and say, listen, he's having this code, intermittent EGR. Okay, no problem. I got one. I'll get one in stock by the time he gets here. So the turnaround is very quickly versus, now he's got to plug the scan tool on it when he gets there, charge you a minimum of 5 hours to scan it when really he should know what it is within about an hour, 0.5.
Right.
That's all been reduced now because, hey, first of all, I'm paying the bill, not the fleet. And moreover, we know what it is. And by the way, I'm going to email you the code, and I'm going to email you the live data right now, what's going on with the truck. So please order that EGR immediately by the time it gets there. So it does reduce a lot of downtime for the fleet and for us paying the bill, right?
Yeah, of course.
Because now he has the spec of the truck, he has the VIN of the truck, and he sees the code. You know, so why not use this technology that we have? It only makes great sense.
Oh, 100%. Just the fact that it's telling you whether this is a major or minor code is worth it. That alone.
No, I'm not. I'm a technician as well, but I'm not saying just because there's a code, the part needs to be replaced. But at least they've got some lead time saying, it's spinning this EGR code and different brands, they pretty well know, okay, I know why it's doing this. You know, it's different brands,
right.
They have faulty EGRs. Different brands have faulty turbo actuators. So they know exactly what it is when the truck is on its way there. So as you say, you've got a load of mail. This needs to be turned around within 3 hours maximum. Max.
Right.
Not the truck sit there
all day
in a lot.
I almost fell asleep at the wheel. I'm trying to listen and take a couple of notes as well. But I'm looking at the time, and we done blew all the way through our hour. Before we get all the way out of time, I want to make sure that we give Paul an opportunity to how they can get in contact with you, where they need to go if they're interested in some of the things that you guys have to offer, website, social media, all that good stuff. Let everybody know, and we're going to try to find a parking spot and back this thing into a hole.
Now, that's amazing. Absolutely. We're pretty well on every piece of social media you can think of, and it's Canadian Truck Warranty. Our website is canadiantruckwarranty.ca. We also have a 1-877 number, which is 1-877-385-5757. And feel free to email me directly as well. My email is on the webpage. And it's paul@ctwarranty.ca.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for both of you for having me. Oh, my pleasure.
It was
Thank
very
so
informative
much.
And certainly opened everybody's eyes to what's available out there.
Yeah, I think it's so important for the great women and men that are driving truck to be protected, get coverage, get extended warranty. I tell you, I'd never get on an airplane without buying insurance. I don't know why we're driving great trucks out there.
Yep.
You know, these women and men that are out there at 4 o'clock in the morning when it's freezing cold out, when it's snowing, they need the respect and they need to be protected. And, you know, mechanically, we've got them covered.
Well, I'm glad to hear it. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, guys. Have a blessed evening.
Thanks, you too.
Thank
Take
you.
Care. Bye-bye.
Chuck?
Yeah, if anybody needs to get a hold of me, you can shoot me an email, chuck@traffix, T-R-A-F-F-I-X. And if you need to get set up with us, give me a just send me an email or call me at extension 203. Phone number is 1-800-388-4352, or send me a private message on Instagram at Chuck Snow or at Chuck Snow CEO. And anything I can do to help any of our listeners, whether you're having a business challenge or need some advice on anything, I'm more than happy to share. And with that, Rico, I'm going to let you back her in the hole there.
All right. Well, we appreciate it once again, everybody. You could have been anywhere else in the world, but you took a little time to hang out with us. And we're always eternally grateful for you doing so. So we want everyone out there to be safe out. Just make sure that you stay safe, stay healthy. Keep it in between the mustard and the mayonnaise, and God willing, we'll talk at the same time, same place next week. God bless you. And
catch you on the flip-flop. God bless.